Hello, my name's Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge. Welcome to your audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com on how to combine alone time and social time to help you be your best. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to see people regularly to have a laugh, chew the fat, and be, at least sometimes, stimulated by new ideas or opposing views. We're social creatures. We like to connect and have shared fun, and also think about other people and their perspectives. All this can help us grow and certainly, or at least hopefully, make us less self-absorbed. But having said all that, I don't just like to be social. Sometimes I like to be alone, to just sit and reflect on life, you know, chill out and have space from other people. I think it's pretty clear that a life with absolutely no privacy can be as hell-like as a life completely alone, maybe even worse in some ways. So we all need some time with people, and we all need some privacy, space and time for reflection. But there is a sort of spectrum when it comes to different people's needs for togetherness and aloneness. People with extroverted personalities tend to be more naturally social. They tend to be outgoing, energetic and positive and to seek out stimulation in the company of others. They need company more than most. Extreme extroverts may actually feel uncomfortable or even a bit panicky when alone. Introverted people, on the other hand, need people to some extent, but may be more comfortable one-on-one or simply being by themselves. Introverts tend to be more solitary and socially reserved, with most of us known of a reserved introvert who became drunk at a party then the next day felt absolutely mortified at some unintended extroverted drunken display. Certainly letting your guard down or being open and loud when that flies in the face of who you feel yourself to be can feel mortifying. Anyway, unlike the extreme extrovert who may feel uncomfortable when left to their own devices, the introvert may feel much more natural and comfortable being alone, but prone to anxiety when round others, especially people they've only just met. And just as extroverts tend to seek stimulation from and in the company of others, those prone to introversion tend to seek stimulation in solitary pursuits such as reading. Most of us, of course, aren't extreme extroverts or extreme introverts, but tend to hover somewhere in the middle, sometimes wanting to be around others, and sometimes needing alone time. Anyway, I was intrigued to see some recent research looking at how being alone and socialising with others can each contribute to personal growth in different ways. Researchers at Bar-Ilan University in Israel analysed writing from more than 1,700 participants who performed a sentence completion task regarding their experiences alone and their experiences in the company of others. The results showed that the formation of what the researchers call the integrated self is best supported by a combination of constructive, alone and social experiences. They don't really explain what they mean by integrated self, but I'd imagine it essentially means being emotionally stable, happy, creative and productive. The results of the study, which were published in the journal Social Psychology, showed that when people think about themselves with others, they're more focused on the present and less focused on the past or the future than when they think about themselves alone. So if you find yourself unduly reflecting on the past or worrying about the future when alone, that might be a signal that you could benefit from socializing more often. Of course, it also suggests that you need to learn to relax and immerse yourself in downtime activities without sinking into repetitive ruminations. And certainly people can learn to be better at being alone, but that's a whole other topic. The study also found that when people imagine being with others, they express more anxiety and anger, but less sadness than when they're alone. So clearly, if something is driving you to anger, being with others may not be a good idea until you sort that issue out by yourself. And if you're struggling with sadness, scheduling some time with friends may be just the tonic. I find these correlations really interesting, as we know that anger tends to be more of a left hemispheric emotion, whereas sadness tends to be processed more through the right hemisphere. So it may be that we predominantly engage different hemispheres depending on whether we are alone or with others. We know that right hemispheric activity is correlated with creativity, so it may be that being alone can sometimes enhance creativity. I'm talking about the brain hemispheres very generally here, but these are genuine correlations, so this is very interesting to think about, well, at least for me. Anyway, the researchers didn't talk about creativity or the hemispheres of the brain, but they did find that people tend to use time alone as an opportunity to think about past experiences and future plans, to relax from the stress of social interactions, and to engage in self-selected leisure activities. The study's author, Dr. Liad Uziel of the Department of Psychology at Bar-Ilan University, said, Being alone and being with others are represented in people's minds as qualitatively different experiences, each contributing to the formation of an integrated self. He added that one needs a combination of constructive, alone and social experiences, as each type of social setting contributes much-needed unique advantages. So if we're frightened of socialising, or frightened of being alone, we're missing out on valuable parts of life. Researchers don't always like to conject too much on their findings, so I'll do that for them. As I said, it may be that if people are more likely to experience sadness when alone and anger when in company, which doesn't of course mean that sadness is common when people are alone or that anger is common when we socialise, just that these two different emotions are more likely to be experienced in solitary and non-solitary times. And it may be that alone time is an opportunity to reflect, calm down, see the bigger picture, and learn, while together time may be more of a time to have fun, bond with a group, feel inspired, and maybe take some of that inspiration into alone time so that it can be used creatively. Perhaps together time can help enrich alone time, and alone time can enhance together time. So how we are when we're in company, and how we are when we're alone, may be the most important thing in terms of reaping the benefits of those two types of experience. If I'm just focused on me and how I imagine I'm coming across to others when I'm socialising, then I need to learn to relax socially and maybe learn some social skills in order to give and get the most from the experience. And when we're alone, it may be useful to switch off social media, which may stop us from feeling alone so that we can actually be alone with our own thoughts. If the idea of simply sitting with your thoughts is all a bit too much, try reading a book. Reading books can be a wonderful way to reflect, find inspiration, and even make sense of parts of our lives. Scanning social media doesn't tend to do that for us. In fact, research has found that doing it all the time, rather than just now and then, can make many people depressed. So for your alone time, I'd make the following suggestions. First, embrace being alone sometimes. If you're seeing enough people and getting enough attention in your life, being alone should feel like a balm, a gentle period of downtime in which you can really relax. Don't overdo the social media or binge watching. Read, write, or just listen to music and simply reflect sometimes. Being alone is to a creative person what spinach was to Popeye. Don't always feel you have to do something with other people. For example, walking alone can be a great time to empty your mind of worries and responsibilities and just think. On the other hand, we can all learn to spot times when we need to give and receive attention from others. Meeting our social needs in balance means we don't become attention-starved and therefore overwhelmingly desperate for company or greedy to talk at people. Regularly seeing people you like is vital and can feed the alone part of your life too. So when in company, you can bear the following suggestions in mind. Really listen to those around you so that you can give as well as receive good quality attention. Social interactions tend to feel most satisfying when people exchange attention evenly. Spend time with different types of people. I have friends with whom I can have serious chats, others I just basically laugh with, and yet others who I mainly play sports with. Some of my friends are introverted, some extroverted, some serious, some playful. The more different types of people you hang out with, the richer your social life becomes, and perhaps the more complete you become as a person. Embrace the present moment, especially if you're prone to spending too much time reflecting on the past or worrying about the future. So the takeaways from this are that we would do well to cultivate our social and solitary lives in balance, to allow the yin to counterbalance and complement the yang, if you like. We can become enriched by both alone time and together time, and each can complement and enhance the other. We can all learn to become more fulfilled through a healthy combination of alone time and together time, and in this way, we can get the best of both worlds. So I hope you found this interesting and useful. To listen to many other audio insights, you can check out the hypnosisdownloads.com members section, the Growth Zone. Members get access to all the downloads on the site, plus exclusive members-only sessions. To find out more, just go to hypnosisdownloads.com and click on the Join Us link. I'm Roger Elliott of Uncommon Knowledge, and I hope you enjoyed this audio insight from hypnosisdownloads.com.